Skip down to verse 5, Matthew 9:37. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Y'all have that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's read it all together. Ready, read. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Chapter 10, verse 1 picks up and says this. Let's go. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Drop down, please, to verses 5 through 8. Verses 5 through 8. Ready? Read. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give, freely give." Verse 7 says, "And as you go, preach." And as you go, preach. And I don't want to use for a subject, you go.
You go.
You go. You go.
Tell your neighbor, you go.
You go.
Hallelujah. Tell somebody else, you go.
You go.
Father, thank you tonight for the word that we receive it tonight with thanksgiving. Speak to us from heaven, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Take your seats. You go. Back in the Garden of Eden, when Adam disobeyed God's word, we saw disease and despair and destruction and death appear in the earth and to all mankind. And I've been telling you the last few weeks about how God has been working through every condition, through every generation rather, because he hates all these conditions. And he's always sought to make a way for people to escape. If they will respond to his loving call, they could escape this disease and despair and this destruction and even this death. So what God's been doing, he's been using people, each generation, to carry out his redemption plan to humanity. Finally, we saw how God sent his own son, Jesus Christ, to finish the redemptive work on the cross. Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan and redeem mankind back to the Father. There's a scripture we read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, that it says on the tail end, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Those works appear to us right there in the Garden of Eden, where you saw death come in, you saw destruction, you saw despair, you saw disease come in. All those things came in because of Adam's sin. Because of Adam, if there had never been any sin, there'd be no death. There would be no destruction. There'd be no disease. There'd be no despair in the earth. Are y'all hearing me? So Jesus came, the Bible says, to destroy the works of the devil. Then Revelation chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, it says this. Now when he had taken the scroll, this he being Jesus, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb. Each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are what? The prayers of the saints. Verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals." Watch this. "For you were slain." Remember, he's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This is Jesus. "For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." So by his sacrifice on the cross, Jesus redeemed us back to God. Redeemed is a term that implies you and I were held captive. You and I have been taken by the enemy. And Jesus paid for our redemption with his own blood. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we have redemption. We have the forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ redeemed us, and he finished that redemptive work on Calvary's cross. Hallelujah. And when he did it to set all men free. But if you remember, just the same way that Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. Remember that? Abolishing slavery in January 1, 1863. It wasn't until June 19th, 1865, that Texas slave owners freed their slaves. We hear this new holiday we've been celebrating the last few years, or the America celebrates, called Juneteenth. And the narrative is that Juneteenth, June 19th, was a day that the final slaves discovered they were free. However, if you set it out, that's not true. If you set it out, actually, when the slavery was abolished January 1, 1863, the word made it to Texas. The word made it everywhere. But the problem was because that the people there in Texas did not obey that decree. So on Juneteenth, as they call it, June 19th, is when the military showed up in Galveston, Texas, to enforce what had already been established. Y'all got to catch that. This is very important. This is very important. Everybody say, you go. Remember, they were free on January 1, 1863. But because no one was there to enforce their freedom, they remained in captivity an extra year and a half. 2.5 years, in fact, right? So here they are. They are free. They know they're supposed to be free because it's posted. It's been posted. Records say it was already in their newspapers over there in Texas. But because there was nobody with any might or force to enforce that freedom, the Texas slave owners held them in captivity. Isn't that the same way it is in the spirit? That Jesus Christ, when he got up there, climbed up there on Calvary's cross, that every human being, every man, woman, boy, and girl was set free. But because they don't know it, because nobody has come into town and enforced it, they are still bound. So in Galveston, in Texas, where they were still bound, Washington, D.C. had declared them free. So the military had to go to Texas and enforce what was established in D.C. So people out in this world are bound, they're captive, they're trapped by the enemy, trapped in darkness, but there's already a decree established in heaven that they have been set free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He died, he paid for all of our sins in his own blood. Hallelujah. It isn't just about Easter eggs, ladies and gentlemen. He paid for our sins. He redeemed us back to the Father. He redeemed us back to Father God. But the world needs somebody with some military might, some military strength, some military ability, who knows who they are, who knows they have delegated authority to come into town and enforce what God has already established. Are y'all with me on this here? Hallelujah. In Luke 10, verse 19. Luke 10, 19. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, I give you the authority. You see? When the military came into Galveston, they came in with authority and power. So Jesus says, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So everybody say, I have authority. Now, if you read the King James, it'll say, I give you power. But that word power is the Greek word exousia, which means authority. It's executive. Exousia, it's executive authority. He said, so I give you executive authority over all the power, the ability of the enemy. So the devil might have power. I know we like to say in the modern faith church, the devil doesn't have any power. Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does. That's why he's running people ragged all over this world. That's why there's shootings, and that's why there's murders and killings and rapes and all the kind of things that are happening in the world, because the devil does have power. Yet Jesus said, I give you authority over his power. I wish I got a little more. I give you authority over his power. Thank you, Lord. Let me help you understand this. It would be as if a deputy sheriff came into the sheriff's what do you call it, their office or whatever, and he's got his weapon. Yes, sir. But the sheriff himself, with no weapon,
that's right.
No weapon on him at all, has authority over that deputy's power. Because authority trumps power. Are you hearing me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, that's why no weapon, come on, y'all got him. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the inheritance or the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. Because you and I stand in a place of authority, it doesn't matter how much power the enemy may have, he can't whip me because I have authority over his power. But not only do I have authority, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he says, but you shall receive power. Now this is not exousia, this is dunamis. But you shall receive dunamis or dynamite power after or when the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end. Everybody say authority. I have it. And now say power. I have that too. What is this power, Deacon Robert? This power is the Greek word dunamis, which means strength. Watch this. Now remember our example of the military going into Galveston, Texas.
Yes, sir.
Strength, power, ability. This is what I have. Power for performing miracles. Everybody say, I have power for performing miracles. Say it, I'm a miracle worker. I know we like to say Jesus is a miracle worker. Yes, he is, or yes, he was when he was here, but he's not working the miracles now. I know y'all coughing. No, you're the miracle worker now. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. He can't work anymore. He's resting. He's sitting there until his enemies are made his footstool. Y'all miss it. I'm going to come on this side. Do I have any Bible students here? The Bible says he sits here until the enemy has made his footstool. He's not working anymore. When he got on the cross, John 19:30, he said, it is finished. He was done. Guess who's working now? So we are the miracle workers today. Everybody say, I'm a miracle worker. I have the power to work miracles. Now understand, your power is not, it's not from you, it's through you. Don't get the big head on me now. If the power is not from you, it's through you. Y'all got this here. Power for performing miracles. The power and influence. Watch this power that you get. This is all in this definition here. Which belong, to riches and wealth. Maybe somebody on this side might like that. But you shall receive power and influence which belongs to riches and wealth when the Holy Spirit comes on you. I'm trying to find somebody. You shall receive power that belongs to riches and wealth. So when you get this power, it comes with the ability to get wealth. Isn't that what he said in Deuteronomy 8, verse 18? I give you power to get wealth. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Okay, I'll move on. Okay. The last one, which is the one I wanted you to see here, power consisting in or resting upon armies, forces, hosts. So I want you to see that same power that the military walked in when they rode into town in Galveston is the same power and might that you and I walk in when we ride into our neighborhoods. When we ride up on Booker Creek, Bartlett Park, Old Northeast, Snell Isle, Feather Sound, Hillsborough County, Manatee. I don't care where you go. This is the power that you're supposed to be riding into town to set captives free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So last week I talked on the subject, this is a job for the church. Do y'all remember that?
Yes, sir.
We were in Matthew 9. 35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Compassion will move you. Tell your neighbor, compassion should move you. Compassion moves you to action.
That's it.
We grew up on the statement, love is what it does. Love isn't what it says, love is what it does. Don't tell me you love me and you don't do anything for me. Don't tell me you love me and you do things that are against me. You don't love me, you love you. So when you love me, you're moved. It moves you to do something. Y'all hear me? So he was moved with compassion for them because, notice this, they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Okay? Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So he looks out on this crowd. I told you this last week. He sees all the sicknesses, all the disease, all the demon possession, all the things that they're dealing with, all the traps, all the bondage, all the depression, all their despondency, all their weariness. They're weary, scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Can you imagine how they look in his face? They're looking bad, looking toe up, and looking broken down and busted and disgusted. And he calls that the harvest. And he says, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Right? Then he says, therefore pray that the Lord will give us a harvest. Huh? He didn't say that, did he? But isn't it interesting that in the church, and I've been just as guilty of it as anybody else, how much time I've spent praying for the Lord to give us a harvest. I'm going to come over here because y'all don't want to admit it. How many times I pray, Lord, give us a harvest. Give us a harvest. God, give us a harvest of souls.
Right. That's not it, though.
And yet Jesus utters these words. The harvest is. He didn't say will be. And he didn't say was. He said is. Is his present tense. So no matter when you read it, 2024, 1924, 1724, 24 AD, no matter when you read it, the harvest is plentiful. Now, I don't care if you look out there and it looks like all the world is going to hell in a handbasket. I don't care if you look out there and it seems like all the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Because what can happen in church is we can sometimes write people off. Write off a generation, write off a people and say, there's no use, there's no harvest out there. People don't want God. Yet Jesus says, truly, the harvest is plentiful. He's saying, no matter what time you look at it, no matter what time you what year it is, no matter what day it is, no matter what generation, the harvest is plentiful. So my church, he says, stop praying for a harvest. You don't have to pray for what's already there. You don't have to hope for what's already there. The harvest is already there. I tell you, but the harvest is already there. Glory to God. Matter of fact, in John 4:35, Jesus says this. He says, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. He said, lift up your eyes and look. Don't pray for the harvest. Lift up your eyes and look. There it is. Open your eyes when you're riding down the street. Open your eyes when you're on the school bus. Open your eyes when you're on the city bus. Open your eyes when you're walking. Open your eyes when you're going to the mall. Everywhere you look, there's a harvest. Y'all so quiet. Everywhere you look, there's a harvest. Look, he says, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. So the harvest is already there. Y'all got it? So this tells me, Pastor, that there is no lack of people ready to receive Jesus.
You gotta build a labor
No, I know that this is kind of difficult for us to swallow because we live in a generation where we've been feeding for so long on the before Christ comes, there's going to be a great falling away. We've been feeding on that. There's going to be a great falling away. Yet the Bible never said that. I'm going to come over here. Your Bible never said there's going to be a great falling away. You find it, I'll give you $10. I'll give you $1,000. You find it. No, my pastor said that. My bishop, no, it's not. That's not the truth. The Bible says there will be a falling away, but it never called it great. So we've had our faith locked in on great falling away, and I had our faith on there's a great harvest that's right there. The Bible does say there will be a falling away, but it says the harvest is plentiful. In other words, the harvest is bigger than the falling away. Can I get anybody to say anything? The harvest is bigger than the falling away. But the church has been so locked in on a great falling away, we've been missing the great harvest that's been sitting right there in front of our eyes. Y'all, anybody find it? Y'all looking? You right? There's no, the word great is not in there. The word great is not in there. It's just a falling away. And can I tell you something about the falling away? Can I pause here for 1 minute? You can count me down, 60 seconds, 1 minute. The falling away is not people falling away from church. They're falling away from God. They're still in the church. Y'all don't like that. They're still in the church. That's the whole reason why Jesus came along to the seven churches and would say things like, because you're lukewarm. He's talking to the church. You're lukewarm. Or he's talking to the church and saying, you've left your first love to the church. They were still in church, but not serving him. Still in church, but not living for him. Still in church, but not loving him. Still in church and not doing the first work. Still in church. Come on now. Come on now. You can just hunch your neighbor and say, is he talking about you? Talking about you. No, see, because you can still be in church and have left your love for Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sure I'm not talking about you tonight, but I'm telling you, it's just in the church. You check pulpits. You just watch YouTube or Facebook or Instagram just for one day, and you'll get your fill till it make you want to vomit of all the foolishness in the church from people. They have not left the church, but they've walked away from God a long time ago. And that's the falling away that we're seeing. That's why I'm not moved. Look, y'all got to catch this. I'm 25 years on this thing. Pastor,
yes, sir.
I'm not moved when folk leave the church.
Come on now.
Come on. Because when you leave my church, you left a long time ago.
Come on.
You just finally removed your body and took your body where your mind is. But I'm not going to focus in on the one that leaves. I'm going to think about the 10 that's on the way. Because there's going to be a falling away. But it's got a great harvest that's coming in, baby. So there's no lack of people ready to receive Jesus. Listen, let me say it slowly. There's no lack of people ready to receive Jesus. He calls them the harvest. They're plentiful.
Yes, sir.
And remember, we read in John 4, they're ripe. That means that there are people ready to receive Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Ready to receive Jesus. And the devil will try to convince us, no, people bad off. They don't want Jesus Christ. They're doing everything else they can in the world. They don't want Jesus. And he's saying, yep, they're ready. Because they smiled on Instagram, but at home.
Come on. Say that.
They got the filters on their Facebook, and everything looks grand, everything looks wonderful. But when they get by themselves and the girls' weekend, the girls' trip is over, and now it's just back, it's just them in their bedroom. It looks like homeboy having a good time, and he got all the girls he want, and he got all the money he want. But when it all is boiled down, they can't find that pillowcase. Knows the truth. They're crying. You think they're drinking for enjoyment. They're drinking trying to escape. They're trying to escape. And we see them as an old alcoholic. They don't have no chance. No, that's a person who wants you. He's trying to find his answer in a bottle. But his answer is not in a bottle. His answer is bottled up on the inside of you, and on the inside of you, and on the inside of me. Somebody tell your neighbor, they're ready, they're ready, they're ready. Oh, they're ready, they're ready. All over St. Petersburg, they are ready. All over the Bay Area, they are ready. All over this nation, they are ready. All I need is somebody to open up their mouths and say, are you ready? Today is your day. Bow your heads, let's pray.
That's all it takes.
Remember I gave y'all a stat a few weeks ago, how nationwide stats is 75% of the people who don't go to church say they've never been invited. I gave y'all that, right? So then we know, I can take down this whole list of who brought who into the church. But one of the young men here, Evan Hall, who got born again, got baptized a few weeks ago, he invited a friend of his, Jashawn, here to church. And Jashawn got saved and got baptized here at our last baptism. And I talked to Jashawn. He said, yes, Pastor, you know, when you were talking about 75% of people who don't come to church say never been invited, he said, my whole life I've never been in church. He said, nobody ever invited me. He said, and Evan invited me, and I said, sure. I said, for real? He said, yeah, that's a true story. That's how I got here and got saved. Got baptized because Evan just invited me. Nobody ever invited me to church. The harvest is plentiful. There's no lack of the harvest. The lack is in the laborers. The lack is in the laborers. So Jesus didn't say pray for a harvest. He said pray for laborers. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Because that's the issue. Jesus says the harvest is no problem. I've been talking to people. I've been massaging their hearts. My Holy Spirit been working on them. They were in the club, but they felt weird. because I'm making them feel weird. I'm making them uncomfortable. I'm making them uneasy where they are. I'm making them. Because I have a plan for their lives. I just need. Only thing is, Jesus says, I can't witness to them. I can't evangelize them, and I can't send angels to do that. I got you here to do that. So don't pray for the harvest. I've taken care of the harvest. I need you to pray for the laborers. Everybody say the laborers.
The laborers.
Now listen to this word laborer. Listen to this word laborer. This is not from the concordance. This is from the dictionary. Dictionary. One who labors in a toilsome occupation. Everybody say toilsome.
Toilsome.
I'm going to deal with that probably next Tuesday. This toilsome, the toil or the hard work of this labor. Because I'm not trying to tell you it's going to be easy. It's going to be some work. Tell your neighbor
it's a dirty job.
But somebody's got to do it. One who labors in a toilsome occupation. Watch this. A person who does work that requires strength rather than skill, as distinguished from that of an artisan. So, in other words, he said, if you know anything about agriculture, to reap a harvest requires some skill to it, because you want to be able to differentiate between the weed and the wheat. the wheat and the tares, right? But in general talk, I can't go out there and labor because I don't know all 66 books of the Bible. Okay, it's okay. I haven't memorized the Romans Road. Okay, that's okay. That's okay. You don't need that skill. I don't know how to talk. I don't know how to share a testimony properly. No, that's a skill. No, all you need is strength. All you need is the ability to go out and say, you know, before I got saved, I was trapped in sin. I was miserable. I was lost. I was struggling. I was depressed. I was anxious. Whatever your was. And then you say, and one day I met Jesus Christ. One day he came into my life and I just said, yes, Lord. I didn't know how to pray a prayer. I don't know how to do anything. I just said, yes, Lord, come into my life. And since then, here's how my life looks now. Guess what? You've just shared your testimony. And if you know this part, if you know how to say, Jesus Christ died for your sins. He died for you because he loves you. And if you receive him, you'll be saved too. And your life will change just like my life changed. You've now preached the gospel. That's all it takes to be a laborer in the vineyard. Y'all getting this here? All right, Matthew 10. Let me finish here. I got a few more minutes left. Matthew 10. We don't need more harvest. We need more laborers. Now watch this, because this is the interesting part, because we're preaching on Yugo, not the car. Y'all remember the Yugo car? Did anybody ever have a Yugo? You had a Yugo, praise God. Uh-huh. You said no. Oh, I thought you said yes. Okay. Wow. I don't know about a Yugo. Because you can only go so far. I know that's right. They should have called it, you stop. You break down. But like this, they're not around anymore. So he tells them, listen to this, verse 38. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Mm-hmm. Now, remember the Bible is not written in chapters. No. Right? It's a continuation. Mm-hmm. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers out during the harvest. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. He told them, pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. So guess what they do because they're obedient? We pray. All right, Lord, send out laborers into the harvest. And when he called his 12 disciples to him, y'all got to catch this here. They pray, all right, Lord, send laborers into the harvest. So what does he do? He calls them to him. You ask for laborers, right? Well, here you go. And he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out. Come on now. Not to negotiate. So you don't have to go out there and negotiate with devils. You don't need no 10-hour deliverance session. Shut up and come out. Shut up and come out. If it takes you longer than 15 minutes, you're probably not ready for it. Y'all. Okay. Back off and call for reinforcements. Praise God. Glory to God. Because he gave them power to cast them out. Well, no, Pastor, you don't understand. There are some devils that are really rough. No, he gave them power over. Glory to God. Okay. To cast them out, heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Then he goes through and names the 12 apostles, right? I'm not going to go through their names. But look at verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out. Remember verse 38. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out. Some of y'all will get this by next Friday. He said pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Chapter 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out. So they prayed for laborers, and Jesus said, you it. Tell your neighbor and say, you're it, you're it. While you're praying, you go. While you believe in God, you go. While you're asking God to send laborers, he said, you go. He said, then Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, nor don't go into a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, go to people right there closest to you. Start right there in your circle of influence. And as you go, and as you go, and notice, remember, they praying for the Lord to send out laborers. Remember I told you that word, send out, literally means to thrust out, to push out violently. And here he is. They weren't expecting this. They still praying. Lord, we need laborers in your harvest field. Oh, we believe in God. Send us some help to get this labor, to get this harvest in the city of St. Petersburg. We ready. Lord, we pray, send out somebody. And God said, use it. It's you. Hallelujah. That's right, Pastor. It's me. He said, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, again, verse 1 says he gave them what?
Power.
That word, again, is the word exousia. This is not dunamis here. This is exousia. Power over unclean spirits. So they have authority over unclean spirits. Got it? All right. And then he sent them out. In other words, he said, you go. So they prayed for laborers. And Jesus hired them. Are you looking for work tonight? Anybody here looking for work tonight? Jesus is hiring. He's hiring. He's hiring. Yes, he is. Remember we read in John 4, back John 4, 34 talked about the fields being white and everything. If you go over to the end of verse 36, Jesus says this, and he who reaps receives wages. John 4, 36, and he who reaps receives wages. And he who reaps receives. So if you're looking for a job that pays well, Jesus is hiring. You don't have to apply. You're already in. You just go. You just go. And he's going to pay well. He who reaps receives wages. Are y'all hearing me on this tonight? Y'all got a few more minutes here? Glory to God. I'm trying to be done in the next couple minutes here. Go to Matthew 20. Go to Matthew 20 real quick. Hallelujah. I'm going to speed read through part of this. I want to try to get this into you. Matthew 20, verse 1. When you get there, say hallelujah. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to what? Hire laborers for his vineyard. So this is how the kingdom of heaven is. Remember he told them when you go preach, say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus now says the kingdom of heaven is like this. A landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers. It's the same word we saw back there in Matthew 10. Hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed, no, let me skip down. I don't have time. Verse 6 and verse 7. Listen to this. Watch this. And about the 11th hour, he went out. Now, this is the landowner who's hiring laborers. And about the 11th hour, now, if you know your Bible, that's about 5 p.m. That's 5 p.m. All right? Which means it's just before sundown. It's just before the day is over. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. Now, he had already hired some early in the morning, midday. But here it is at the 11th hour. The 11th hour, again, represents the end of the day. Now, if you know anything we've been saying for a long time, these are the last days or the last of the last days. The 11th hour, Apostle Derby, the Lord gave him a vision about this when he took him to heaven, that the 11th hour worker is representing us today. Y'all got it? So we are the 11th hour workers. But notice the condition of the 11th hour workers. They were standing idle. Not a harvest field. The vineyard is plentiful. It's full of a harvest. It needs workers. Everybody else going out there, they've been working. They've done their job in their hours. Previous generations have done their jobs in their generations. But here it is, the 11th hour worker. Instead of being out there in the field gathering, they're standing idle. They're having conventions and having conferences and having retreats and having meetings and having our little fun time together. We're doing Cirque du Soleil and all that kind of good stuff, just having a good time together. And yet the harvest is out there and people are dying, or the fruit is dying out there in the field. Are y'all catching this? So they were standing idle. Glory to God. And verse 6 again says, and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? All day. He didn't say, why you're idle now? You've been idle all day. You ain't doing nothing. They said to him, because no one hired us. No one hired. He said, no one hired you. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard. You also. I've been here. I don't came through here three times. What you doing still standing here? He said, you also go. Y'all didn't see me when I came earlier hiring everybody else at these times? He said, you also go into the vineyard and watch this last part. And whatever is right, you will receive. How many of y'all have ever read this parable? Three of y'all. Okay, so you remember the rest of the story. What happens is when the time comes, when payday comes, the 11th hour workers come first. And he gives them their, let's call it a penny, whatever it is, the $1 million, whatever it is. He gives them their payment. Then the other ones come who they've worked different hours, and the ones who came, they worked all day long. And they say, oh, they got $1 million, man. We're going to get $50 million for what we got. And they got the exact same payment. And they got mad, like, how in the world are you paying them the same thing you paid us? And he said, you agreed to that. I paid you what we agreed on. And he said, are you mad because I'm good? And I wanted to pay them the same thing I paid you? Remember now, he who reaps receives wages. And he said, whatever is right, I'll pay. The issue in this story was that you had people standing around idle when they should have been working all day long. We're not going to be idle. Say, we're not going to be idle. The word idle comes from the Greek word argos. Argos, which means free from labor. At leisure. This is the picture of today's church, ladies and gentlemen. The 11th hour church. This is the 11th hour worker. This is today's church. Free from labor. At leisure. Lazy. Shunning the labor which one ought to perform. That's what it means to be idle, to be free from labor, at leisure, lazy, shunning the labor which one ought to perform. And that's how it looks today. There's plenty of work in God's vineyard, but those who should be working are standing idle and shunning what they ought to be doing. Remember, Jesus started this in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 19. He started the Great Commission by saying, go ye, therefore. In our modern vernacular, we would say it this way, you go. Tell your neighbor one more time, you go.
You go.
Go back to Matthew 10, and let's close out here. Oh, Jesus. Matthew 10, verse 7 and 8. Says, and as you go, remember they've been praying for the laborers. And Jesus says, and as you go, laborer, preach or announce to everybody that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, announce to people that everything is about to change because the rule and the realm and the power of God is right here, right now. Y'all hear me?
Yes,
y'all listen to this very carefully. Yes. Listen very carefully. How many of y'all are going to be laborers for the kingdom of God? When you go preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he's saying don't go preaching about people leaving here and going to the kingdom. In other words, don't go preaching about getting saved so you can go to heaven. Go preaching saying heaven has come down to you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because one of the most dangerous doctrines that has happened, it happens especially over in foreign nations where people live in third world conditions. They preach to them about one day in a sweet by and by over yonder. You know, don't worry about having no food and your kids being malnutrition now. One day they're going to eat at the supper of the Lamb. And don't worry the fact that you live in a hut that every time it rains, your whole house falls down now. You're going to get a mansion one day over yonder in the sky. Don't worry about the fact that you got all kind of AIDS and HIV and all kind of infectious diseases all over your body and you're dying from leprosy because you're going to get a new body over in the great by and by. He said, don't go preach that stuff. He said, preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand or near you or it's right here, right now. When you see that sick body, heal it. When you see that hungry belly, fill it. Yes, y'all not saying anything to me. When you see that naked body, clothe it. Yes, when you see that unhoused person, house them. Yes, in other words, present to them, the kingdom is not over yonder. The kingdom is here right now. And I've given you the power over unclean spirits. I've given you the power to heal sickness and disease. I've given you the power to not only preach and proclaim my kingdom, but to demonstrate my kingdom right here and right now. Ah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In other words, when you preach the kingdom demonstrated by healing the sick, by notice what he said, heal the sick, that's demonstrating the kingdom.
Yes, cleanse the lepers.
Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Who, me? Yes, you. Look at y'all. Who, me? I can't cast out no demons. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I can't heal the sick. Yes, you can. I got to call for apostle. I got to call for the prophet. No, you heal the sick. Oh, Jesus. Watch this. Remember in Matthew 28, verse 19, when Jesus said, go you therefore and teach all nations? In verse 20, he closes that statement out by saying, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, go over to one more place here. Mark 16. Verse 15 through 20. Because I want you to know that God has empowered, authorized you to go. You to preach. You to heal. You to deliver. You to cleanse. You to raise the dead. Hallelujah. It's interesting, some of these young people been getting born again, some of the guys, when they got their friend, hey, Pastor, I got one on the hook right now. Can we call you so we can get them saved? I said, okay, yes. Yeah, okay, call me. I'm going to lead them to Christ, da 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 da. But I start telling them, okay, no, you do it. You don't have to wait on me to get somebody saved. You doing it, and now they're doing it themselves. Matter of fact, I was talking to another night, and I told him, hey, listen, you guys are up there in college. You lead somebody to Christ, and we're going to baptize here, but they may not be able to get here to get baptized. Take them down there to the pool at the apartment complex, and you baptize them. Yeah. I'm not ordained. I can't baptize. Who said you got to be ordained to baptize anybody? There's no place in Scripture that says you got to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, or deacon to baptize anybody. You get somebody saved in your apartment complex, take them down there to the pool and baptize. You get somebody saved with the Y, go down to the pool with the Y and baptize them. They may not make it to March 10th. You heal them. You cleanse them. You deliver them. You raise the dead. You baptize them. You lead them to Christ. You disciple them. You're the laborer. You want to get a partial paycheck? Most folk who work in that field, they don't want to share their commission with nobody. Y'all know what I mean about sharing commission? You start the sale and somebody else got to close the sale. Then you got to share commission. No, you get the whole commission. You witness to them, lead them to Christ, get them saved, get them filled with the Holy Ghost, get them baptized in water. Are you in Mark 16?
Yes, sir.
I'm not. Okay, I got on the screen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. King James says, go ye. Means you go. Everybody say, you go. Into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, black, white, Hispanic, red, yellow, purple, polka dot, gay, straight, trans, alcoholic, prostitute, John. Come on now, y'all. Look, y'all, I don't know about that. Every creature. No, they're too bad off. They done already transitioned. God can transition them back. No, they don't already cut stuff off. The maim can be made whole. Y'all, God can put body parts back. Preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. How many believers do I have here? So notice these signs are going to follow you. So for them to follow you, you got to go. Signs don't follow you if you don't go. You got to go and they'll follow you. That's why we ought not be so, oh, I got to see miracles in the church. No, the miracles really supposed to be happening out there. When you go, they follow you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Praise God. How many miracles y'all saw in church tonight? None. It didn't matter. We all saved. We came. We weren't going. We came. But when we go.
Yes, sir.
And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will. You will. Cast out demons. Say, I will cast out demons.
Cast out demons.
They will. You will speak with new tongues. Say, I will speak with new tongues.
I will speak with new tongues.
They will. You will take up serpents. Say, I will take up serpents.
I will take up serpents.
Not intentionally. But if one jumps on me out of the fire like it did in Acts 28 to Paul, I'll shake it off. And if they drink anything deadly, in other words, if somebody tries to poison me, it will by no means hurt me. They will say, I will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Say,
I will
lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Say it one more time for the Holy Ghost.
I will
lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now that's your command to go ye. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. So he spoke to them and then he was received up. He left, right? But yet, look at verse 20. He's going to heaven. Yet, and they went out and preached everywhere. The Lord, remember he's gone. But even from heaven, he's working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Who was confirming the word? Jesus was confirming the word through the accompanying signs. So when you preach, don't just declare, but demonstrate. Well, I don't know if I can heal the sick. You just got to lay the hands. Can you lay the hands? Can you do that part? Okay, and Jesus is going to do the work. When Jesus was here, he said, my Father does the works through me. He said, my Father does the works through me. So when you and I go out there, guess what? Our Father does the works through us. Y'all got it? Let's close here. Isaiah 6, verse 8. Isaiah 6, verse 8. Y'all got anything out of this tonight?
Yes, sir.
Isaiah has this vision. In the year King Uzziah died, he sees the Lord's high and lifted up, his train fills the temple. And he comes to a recognition of how unclean he is. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips. The Bible says that the Lord sent an angel to go and took a hot coal from the fire and touched his lips and made his lips clean. Now watch this question and response. Isaiah 6, verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Now watch Isaiah's response. Then I said, here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. Notice God's question. Who shall I send? Who will go for us? Pastor Kim was teaching this morning in prayer, and we hit the scripture in Isaiah 59. where God was saying, the Bible says God was shocked. He was surprised. He was wondering, how come he couldn't find anybody, no man to intercede, nobody who would go and do anything about what they saw. And he was shocked. It's the same thing we see in Isaiah 6. The Lord said, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Isaiah says, Lord, here am I. I want to know if God asks you tonight, who will go? Who shall I send? Who will go for me? How many of you would say, Lord, here am I. Send me. If that's you, stand to your feet tonight. Lord, here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. Who am I going to find? Who am I going to find? While people are leisure. They're in their leisure. They're laid back. They're relaxed. They're shunning work that they ought to do. And yet the harvest is out there and people are dying. And you know, when if you're a sinner and you die, you go to hell. Did y'all hear that? If you're a sinner and you die, you go to hell. And God is saying, these people that I sent my son to die for, so they wouldn't have to die and go to hell. I don't want them to die and go to hell. But whom shall I send? Who will go for us? My response to Father God is, Lord, here I am. Send me. Here I am. Send me. Bow your heads, let's pray. Father, tonight we commit ourselves to you that we want to be part of your labor force. Workers together with you. God, there's a great harvest out there. Forgive us for being fooled into thinking about a great falling away. My God. And not had our faith on the great harvest, that plentiful, plenteous harvest that Jesus described twice. He said it again. In Luke 10, he said it to those 70 that he sent out. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Yes. Talking to 12, but then he was talking to 70 and saying, the harvest is still plentiful. That means that even the 70 weren't enough. There's such a big harvest, God, of souls that are already on the brink. They're on the edge. Some of them are so close to the edge of going to hell that one push and they're off into an eternity in hell. But yet that same person, just one tug by a born-again believer, and their whole lives turn around, and they'll spend eternity with you. Father, we ask you to strengthen us with might by your spirit and our inner man so that we can stand boldly and declare Jesus Christ is Lord. We will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Father, we will open our mouths boldly. We will live unashamedly, declaring Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. God, we ask that you give us the heart, the compassion, and the resources to meet the felt needs of the people we see. That we see someone hungry, we can and will feed them. Give us the ability when we see someone naked, unclothed, we can and will clothe them. Those who are in need of homes and housing, that we can, because you give us the ability and we will house them. Those who are sick in their bodies, in pain, wheelchairs, and they're hopeless, that God, if we lay our hands on them, we trust you to do the work and they will recover. We pray, Father, that this church will be, even as we heard Bishop McLaughlin say, hostile, agile, and mobile. That God, we as a church will be hostile towards the enemy. and not let him keep destroying men's lives, women's lives, and children's lives. We'll be hostile towards the powers of darkness. That we'll be agile, Father, flexible, able to shift and move and change our schedules and change our routines so that we can be in the right place at the right time, because you push us somewhere and you want us to be somewhere that we weren't planning to be. But because, Lord, we want to be in your will, we say, yes, Lord, we'll change our dates around. We'll change our path. We'll change our plans around. We'll be mobile, on the move for Jesus Christ. That as we're praying for laborers in the harvest, we'll heed the call when he says, you go, we will go. God, so have your way in us. Let this church be a beacon light to this city, to this world. Thank you that each person, Father, who will sign to become one of your laborers, God, that we will not have to worry about our needs being met, because you said he that reaps receives wages. You're going to take good care of us. As we attend to your business, we trust you to take care of our business. As we attend to your affairs, we trust you to take care of our affairs. As we attend to your kingdom, you said to seek first your kingdom. We do that, all these things shall be added to us. Continue to bless us and keep us. And God, we're going to trust you, walk with you, obey you, and we look forward to many, 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 many more souls coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. As we go, be with us. We'll give you praise and glory and honor.